My father, Gary Young, was only 24 years old when he was told by medical professionals that he would never walk again. When you're a kid and hear that story, 24 sounds like an adult, but is truly such a young age to be given such a life-altering prognosis. And yet, he would walk and share his story and gift for another 45 years. Gary's story is an essential story to understanding how people connect with their health and bodies. And those stories aren't just folklore or tales of times long past. Those seemingly miraculous events are still happening in the world today. Hello and welcome to Young Living's podcast, The YL Drop. My name is Jacob Young, your host. Young Living is a world leader in producing and distributing premium essential oils. This podcast will provide you with drops of information about Young Living, including stories, history, products, lots of little fun facts, and even more. There will also be a chance to get some free product, so stay tuned. Here with us today is Kavin Ballister, a newcomer to Essential Oils and Young Living, and a man with an incredible journey to holistic health. Welcome, Kavin. How are you doing?
Thank you so much. It's really a pleasure to be here. I'm excited.
Well, with all good stories, they all have to have a beginning. So how did your story begin?
The superhero origin story.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right. So let's start with when I sustained a severe traumatic brain injury. I fell from a rooftop water tower, was instantly unconscious, rushed to the hospital where I was put on life support. While I was in a coma, my family was told that I had less than a 10% chance of recovery beyond a persistent vegetative state. I woke up, surprise, 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 and I didn't eat, walk, or talk for months. My left hand was totally flexed inward. I was breathing through a tube in my neck. I was receiving nutrition through a tube in my belly. And, long story short, lots went into my recovery, mm-hmm. A whole lot. And I think it's so much of it is the synergistic nature of everything I did in order to recover, bringing in all sorts of modalities and also supplying the building blocks to the brain. So at one point, I was steered towards a nutritional protocol, and I began to regain some clarity. And I was like, whoa, wait a minute. Nutrition? Like, it was completely off my radar.
Yeah.
It's like, nutrition, really? They didn't say anything about nutrition in the hospital.
It plays a big key in our day-to-day life. It really does.
Yeah.
And not a lot of people know that.
It's so obvious. Like, and it's interesting how it wasn't on my radar before, because that just shows how far removed we are from nature, from what makes us up, you know? Nutrition made a huge difference. And I was like, they didn't say anything about that in the hospital. What else didn't they tell me, right? So first of all, nutrition really matters. And I was told to just stop eating certain foods, and mm-hmm. I started to regain clarity. I was like, all right, doc, I'm in. What should I eat? And he was like, just don't eat this, you'll be fine. And I was like,
what all was that on that list?
Wheat.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Yep. Milk, soy. And the thing is, a lot of this is because it's genetically modified.
Yes, correct.
Corn, like 98% is genetically modified, which there's two different types of genetically modified crops. One is pesticide producing and the other is herbicide resistant. And so herbicide resistant means you can just drown these things in glyphosate and they'll make it. They'll go yeah. through. Yet you're going to be ingesting that glyphosate.
So you obviously know the grocery trick is what my mom would call it with the numbers, right?
The grocery trick.
Do you know what I'm talking
no.
about?
No.
So 9 means it's organic and hasn't been sprayed, right? So if you see the little number tags on like an apple or banana and you read the numbers, 9 means that it's organic and has not been sprayed. Usually it hasn't been sprayed. 4 means that it is sprayed with pesticide. And if it's a 3 or a 5, it's been sprayed with the other one that you were telling me about. That's the grocery trick that my mom calls.
So where are these numbers?
So they're just on, like, on an apple, that little sticker that's on it.
Yeah.
It's that barcode number right there.
It's got a bunch of numbers there. Mm-hmm. What is
it?
It's the first one.
The very first one.
Okay. Yeah. That's awesome. Thank you.
Not a lot of people know that.
That's
so
a new trick.
I wanted to see if you knew that.
I appreciate learning that.
So after nutrition, because the one thing that I love that you brought up was the first thing that kind of helped you with your recovery was nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
Very similar to my father's story as well after his accident. And that's what got him into essential oils as mm-hmm. well, was through finding out nutrition and supplements as well.
Mm-hmm.
So after nutrition, what did you find next that helped you?
Well, that's where neurorehabilitation, it's so imperative. The analogy I use is, many connections in my brain have been damaged, and I think of rebuilding those connections like building a bridge.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you need to build a bridge? You need supplies, and you need skilled workers.
Yep.
Supplies would be the nutrition, the brain-building nutrition, the right kind of nutrition. Skilled workers would be the therapy, the targeted therapy, the right kind of therapy. Also, we need to get the supplies to the construction site, and that's digestion. So digestion, extremely important. I mean, we don't have the supplies if we're not delivering it. So,
correct.
So healing our digestion is huge. And then when the brain is getting the supplies, now, all right, what are the pathways we're building? And this is the therapy, the targeted therapy, the right kind of therapy, and also the mindset. The
mindset is key.
Yeah, getting yourself in a place of appreciation and
powerful, successful mindset.
Yes.
So with nutrition, right, you've been with Young Living for a little over 2 years, right? Well, you were introduced to Young Living 2 years ago. What oil did you connect with on your start of this journey for you?
So start of the journey, I believe it was frankincense that really, really did something for me, but also fennel. So fennel, frankincense, and orange, like those were my favorite oils.
Mm-hmm.
Fennel is awesome for digestion.
Yes.
Since recently getting back into it, I've been reading a lot of research, and I am fascinated by the trials and the benefits we've seen and the insane safety profile of these. And it's just like, we've kind of evolved with nature
mm-hmm.
for a couple minutes, you know?
Yeah.
For only hundreds of thousands of years or eternity, whatever your beliefs are, whatever. Mm-hmm. And the way our system is set up is to incentivize monetarily novel treatments or treatments that haven't been tested or that haven't been around for a long time. So tried and true treatments don't get utilized.
No.
And it's really beautiful to see how these oils, which have been used since Egyptian times, are extremely supportive to
our whole system.
To our system.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we all have a symbiotic relationship with nature. Yeah, I do want to bring up helichrysum.
Yes, another amazing one.
That one I just recently was introduced to and was like, whoa. I just put my hands on it and smelled it. And I'm like, I mean, I haven't really dove into the research on it as much as I'd like to. I mean, I read some of it and it's a phenomenal oil. Like the way my body reacted to it just let me know. I'm like, this is a special oil.
Yeah. One thing that's so amazing with the essential oils is everyone has a unique connection with them. So for years, your connection to Helichrysum could be completely different from someone else's, from mine as well. But, and your body, like you said, there's that symbiotic connection where the body tells you what you need. And so I think that is truly amazing to have that kind of connection.
You know, when working with clients, I work with clients who often have a loved one in a medical crisis, usually neurological, or going through recovery, and I help improve recovery potential, or I help them to get from where they are closer to where they want to be, and one of the things that's so important is like your body will tell you what you need if your body is not in a toxic and addictive mode, you know, because our like actually when we eat a food that is not supportive to us, our body releases endorphins. Mm-hmm. And we can become addicted to the endorphins that are released when we eat a toxic food because we're eating toxic food, right? Yeah. So we can be fooled into thinking that we want this toxin.
And we have to learn how to read our body as well.
Right, exactly.
So with all of your research and your tragic story, but your amazing recovery, your introduction to oils, does your protocol for helping you with your recovery or your day-to-day going about, how are oils included into that? And if you can explain a little bit as to why they're included, your story with oils and products, why you love them so much and why they're unique for you. What do you like about them?
Hmm. You know, one thing I had meant to speak on, and hopefully we have time for me to speak about this, but so when I realized that my blood-brain barrier was totally gone as a result of a severe brain injury, and also realizing that my gut barrier was also damaged, because if you have a leaky brain, you have a leaky gut.
Yeah.
And if you have a leaky gut, you probably have a leaky brain. And so, well, you know, depending on the degree of it. And so recognizing that, I'm like, okay, so that means any toxins in my body are able to cross the blood-brain barrier and inflame my brain. I need to get rid of any potential toxins, not only in my food, but in, you know, we take in things from the outside through, mostly through our mouth.
Our airways, yeah.
Yeah, which is why our mouth and our nose is the dirtiest part in our body also. And so we're bringing in food, we're bringing in air through our mouth. And we're also bringing in things from the outside through our skin barriers. If you're a female, through vagina, and through our lungs, through our mouth, and through our skin is most. So looking at our personal care products are so huge. So I began to, when I looked at the ingredients of them, and I'm like, all right, toothpaste, like I don't know what 99% of this is.
Yeah.
Deodorant, same thing. Shampoo, same thing. Like laundry detergent, you know, I'm wearing it on myself all the time. Household cleaners, all of these things that are constantly being sprayed and used all the time. They're riddled with
toxins.
Chemicals,
yeah.
That, and I didn't even, you know, toxins, like maybe, like at that point, maybe they're toxins, maybe they're not. But the bottom line is humans have not been around these compounds
long enough for us to adapt to it.
Yeah. Exactly. Like
our body hasn't adapted to it, nor will they.
In the past 100 years, we've been exposed to more chemicals than ever in the entire history of humanity.
Jeez.
Right? And so it's like, all right, let's rewind. Let's go back and use things that have been used for a long time. So I needed to go back. So basically I was making my own deodorant. Mm-hmm. And actually this is originally where fennel and orange came, because I had fennel and orange and I mixed coconut oil with baking soda and added some essential oils. And voila, I had deodorant that worked really well. I used to sell it at the farmer's market,
actually. I love it.
Yeah, and, you know, same with hair stuff, like melting different oils. Actually, Etsy was a great resource where you can get things that are created by just artisans making products. You know, bath products. Etsy's a great resource for that.
So what have you enjoyed the most as far as your story with Young Living? The products, your introduction, the people, the stories that people have, or just, you know, overall having a healthier lifestyle? That's one of the things that I always like to ask people is, what was the reason as to why you joined Young Living, or what kind of brought you to light with Young Living? And a lot of people tell me that it started with one room, or it started with something that they wanted to help improve themselves with, whether it was a healthier lifestyle, right? Like we've talked about with the clothing and the toxins that we, you know, are around day in and day out, or they wanted to help improve, you know, getting rid of the toxins in their laundry room or in their kitchen or in their kids' bedroom or something like that. What was that for you?
That's a perfect question. So as you know, I have cleaned up so much of my life and you know, rid myself of all sorts of toxins, been living a healthy lifestyle. Like I am healthier than I have ever been.
Yeah.
After sustaining a severe traumatic brain injury. I often say everything that happens to you also happens with you.
Yeah.
It can happen for you, but no matter what, it happens with you.
Yeah.
And you have the opportunity to respond to that. And so what happened, because I have cleaned up everything in my life already, being around the people, that's what is just so beautiful to me. I mean, I get approached by network marketing companies a lot with like different products and whatever, and they're like, you know, and then you have somebody who's artificially enthusiastic about a product they know nothing about, and it's just like, oh my God, another one of you. And this is not the case here at all. Like there's just this beautiful energy behind everybody involved. There's or everybody I've met anyways. I spoke with your mom for a while, Mary, amazing woman, and speaking with anybody in the company, and there's just this radiance and this glow and this love of light and this appreciation, and that, and it's beautiful to just, you know, be yourself and just radiate you, and all you need to do is share what it is you do and what you've done.
And the best thing that I have enjoyed most that you have shared is to do your own due diligence and your own research. Mm-hmm. As whatever you're looking for, we live in a world where anything that you're looking for can be found if you're willing to put in the time and the effort for it. And I love that you went on a very similar path as my father, where you wanted to help not only improve your mindset, but your overall well-being, your body, your nutrition, your lifestyle. And I think that's really great, because not a lot of people wake up, you know, the following morning and think that as well, that, oh, I want to become a better version of myself, not only through a mindset, but through nutrition as well. And so I think that's really great, and I appreciate you for sharing that, because a lot of people do need to hear that. They do. Thank you for that.
Absolutely, absolutely. And if you'd like to learn more about me, go over to feedabrain.com or adventuresinbraininjury.com. I have a podcast called the Adventures in Brain Injury Podcast, and you can also follow me on social media at Feed of Brain. And
don't forget the book. I'm definitely going to read this book now,
book,
How to Feed a Brain.
I got a copy coming to you.
Wonderful. Kavin's story is an inspiring one of learning about how the body and mind can work together, and how we can all pay a little more attention to what we are feeding our body. We now want to give you a chance to win some Young Living product, and today we're looking at Brain Power. This is a special blend that includes frankincense, cedarwood, and of course, lavender, my favorite. I use it to bring my mind in harmony with my body when I need to study for school, or just create a clear environment in the home. Comment on this YouTube video for this episode, hashtag Brain Power, for your chance to win a bottle of Brain Power. From stories like Kavin's, we learn how important it is to be aware of everything that goes into our bodies. A clean life is a healthy life. That's why at Young Living we have the Sea to Seal commitment. This is the process each oil goes through before reaching your home. The three pillars that make up the Sea to Seal process are sourcing, science, and standard. Once a month on the podcast, we are going to take a deeper dive into each of those steps, starting today with the source. And there's no one better to talk to about where oils begin than the farmers that oversee the work. Jason Barnum is the general manager of our Mona, Utah farm and knows firsthand the process the seeds and plants go through at our Young Living corporate-owned farms. Welcome, Jason.
Thank you.
How you doing?
I'm great. It's great to be here.
It's a fun little place, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, it's always good to come down here to Lehigh.
Yes. So with the Sea to Seal concept, we have a lot of listeners who are familiar with Sea to Seal and a lot of listeners who are new, and this is their first time ever hearing about Sea to Seal. So let's introduce the Sea to Seal concept and the layout to someone unfamiliar, but we need to start with seed.
Okay.
Because there's a lot of aspects to Sea to Seal, but today is the seed, and you're really good with the seed part.
Yeah. Yeah, so you're right. Everything starts with the seed, you know. And the Sea to Seal concept for the Young Living Farms is essentially we start with a seed. We plant the seed. It becomes a plant. We grow it on the farm. We distill it there at the farm. We even test the oil there. And so we have control of that entire process at the farm. We're vertically integrated is a term I like to use at our YL farms. And so when it starts with the seed, that's really the most important aspect in my mind, because I'm the farmer, right? And that's mm-hmm. where my mind always goes, is the agricultural aspect of it. And it's important to have the very specific species, the right variety, subspecies of seed, because no matter what plant you're dealing with, there may be hundreds of different varieties of that plant.
Yeah.
Whether it's corn or potatoes or lavender, hundreds of different varieties. So it's important to zero down to a very specific seed variety type.
And making sure that they're also protected, not only from nature, but from animals, pesticides and chemicals and stuff like that, you know, sustainable. And that everything just goes the way that it intends to go, with help of Mother Nature, of course.
Yeah.
So with that being said, how do you identify plants that will provide essential oils?
It's a great question. It's funny. I actually saw a video of your dad a while ago, and he was explaining that. And he was talking about, you know, you could go out to almost your backyard or anywhere in nature out in the forest and just, you know, walk up and grab a plant and rub the leaf, smell your hand. So for aromatic plants, the reason they're called aromatic is because, you know, you can literally mm-hmm. you know, smell them typically as you're walking by. In fact, earlier this week, I was up in Washington State visiting some mint farms. And so for a mint leaf, for instance, when you pluck that leaf, it's got oil spores on the bottom of the leaf, and that's where the oil actually comes out at. And you rub the bottom side of that leaf, and you can smell it. And so aromatically, typically anything that's aromatic is going to produce essential oils. Now, there are lots of plants that are not aromatic, but they still produce essential oils, like a lot of our trees, like at our Highland Flats farm, you know. And so a lot of the oils on those is held in the actual needles of the plant. Mm-hmm. And so really the identification is a team process. Typically between, you know, our R&D group, you know, some of Rich Carlson's team and Chris Packer, who's our, you know, senior director of New Botanicals, you know, he's out there traveling the world in the jungles, you know, identifying a lot of these aromatic plants that will produce essential oils.
So with the seeds, how do we care for them and ensure that they have a high yield rate and that premium quality?
Okay. There's about three questions all in that one. So first of all, how do we care for them? So we are collecting seed every year off of our plants at our farms. And so the way we collect the seed is different for every plant. But as we collect that seed, a lot of care goes into protecting that species. So lavender, for instance, let's just say there was a catastrophe. We lost all the lavender around the world. If we didn't have the seed, we would lose that variety because it's specific to Young Living. You can't go and buy it anywhere. No. The lavender we produce is the seed that your dad brought back from France, and the story of the seed in his boot that he brought.
Yeah, during the early 2000s when we had the pandemic, I guess you can say, with the lavender itself, and we ended up finding up that clone lavender was being affected by this disease, mm-hmm. whereas population lavender, which comes from the seed, and if you haven't listened to that episode, please go back and do so. It's called The Lavender Life with Jean Noël, and we talk about this population and this clone lavender. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, the seed is where everything's at. So continue. Yeah.
And so, yeah, if we didn't protect that, it could be gone forever. And so every year we're collecting some seed. And as we collect it, we store it. It starts with a storage in non-translucent containers, so dark containers so light can't penetrate because light will degrade the seed over time. Mm-hmm. They're also airtight containers, you know, to keep any primarily moisture out of it. We have a very intricate labeling system, so we know exactly what species, what variety, what year it came from, what field it came from, and then it's labeled, certified by one of our employees, and then stored in our cold storage units, and typically 32 to 40 degrees Fahrenheit, and so that's how we care for and protect the seed. Start with, well, we'll do some bulk seed collection in large, like stainless steel barrels. It just depends on the seed, but they're all labeled the same way.
Sweet. What about the nurturing part of the seed? So if we're not storing the seed for, you know, doomsday in case lavender disappears one day, mm-hmm. talk about the day-to-day process. So planting the seed, mm-hmm. right? How do you provide the nutrients, minerals, the supplements for it so it can grow into a mature lavender plant that we then end up harvesting about 3-5 times before we uproot and replant again, because mm-hmm. that's after that it's hit its prime and mm-hmm. it's dying at that point as well. Mm-hmm. So what steps go into that to providing the nutrients for it?
Yeah. So if we're going to, you know, maybe plant a new field or do fill-ins, sometimes we call it. So it all starts with a custom soil mix. And so it's a mixture of sphagnum moss, coconut husks, some other different minerals, a wide variety of.
Obviously top secret. We can't share much more than
proprietary.
That. No, I'm just kidding.
But it just drills way, probably deeper than we want to go. Because there's a lot of those.
Yeah.
But just know it's we have a mineral mixture that we add in.
And rocks. Lavender loves rocky soil.
Yeah. But this is I'm talking in the greenhouse, before it even goes to the field. And so, in our potting soil mix, we'll actually add native soil. So we will go out and we'll grab native soil from our fields so that, that adaptation actually starts in the greenhouse. Cause if you just were to go straight into potting soil,
it traumatizes it and then it doesn't take to plant. Yeah.
Or takes a long time, or, you'll plant, 500,000 plants and you'll lose 10% of them because of what we call a transplant shock. Now it's gone outside. It's gone from this controlled environment, into the field, and it's not ready for it. And so by adding native soil, it's already, acclimating.
Yeah.
Okay. And so it starts in the greenhouse, like for lavender, for instance, it takes about 3 months. We'll get them up to about 3 to 4 inches tall, and then we'll start controlling the temperature in the greenhouse. So we'll start cooling it down and trying to mimic what the temperatures are at night outside.
Yeah.
So that it's ready to go. And we'll do that for about a week. Prior to that, in the greenhouse, our fertility is compost. Everything that we do a lot of liquid fertilizers that are all organic, fish emulsions and things like that. Just to give it a little bit of a boost of what it needs to stay healthy in the greenhouse. Once we get it out to the native soil, for the most part, it takes care of itself. There's a lot of nutrients in the soil already because we're constantly putting on compost in our fields, years and years of compost, which, compost breaks down. It becomes nutrients, for the plants.
Sustainability once again.
Yeah.
And so when it comes to the premium quality of the oils, we talked about the nutrients, we talked about the nurturing and providing for the seedling. And then once it becomes an adult, or once it starts to get to that age where it can go out into the field, how do we ensure its high yield rate and its premium quality from there as well? Or does Mother Nature just take its course?
That's the thing about farming. Excuse me. When it comes to farming, it's 80% Mother Nature and, 20% luck, is what farmers like to say.
Yeah.
We do the best we can to work with Mother Nature to ensure that we do get the highest potential yield. But really, the quality of the oil is more important than the quantity.
Yes, always.
Because you can get high yields by manipulating the plant, but the quality is not there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we work the best we can with Mother Nature. And that starts with the soil, starts with organic fertility, regenerative practices like cover crops, feeding the soil. I've found always works best to try to feed the soil. If you feed the soil and take care of the soil will take care of typically whatever plant you put in it.
Yeah.
And because of that, we have relatively little issues with pests and diseases out at the farm.
Yeah.
Which is a blessing, because that's to have to deal with constantly fighting off pests, diseases, fungal, bacterial issues, is not fun.
And so to sum it all up, it starts with the seed. To answer all the questions that we've had for you today, it just all starts back with the seed, which is why it's the most important. Well, not necessarily all the steps for seed to seal are very important, but I'd say the seed is the most important, because if it can't start right there, the rest of the process is pretty much worthless.
Yeah. And that's the thing, most people probably don't realize when they go to their garden store and they buy plants that are already plants, a lot of those are cuttings. Or clones, spoke about earlier. They're not necessarily from seed. The issue with that is they're hybrids, or they're genetically modified. And when they grow up and let's say they produce seed, that seed typically is not a viable seed. You can't plant it and germinate it typically. And so that's why it's so important to protect the seed at our Young Living farms.
And we will make sure to protect and always honor the seed in the seed to sow process. Well, Jason, thank you so much for all the information and for coming onto our show.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
And thanks also to Kevin Ballister for his story, and to you for tuning in to this episode of the YL Drop.
Remember, you can listen on iTunes, Spotify, on YouTube, and our newly refurbished website at youngliving.com. Don't forget to oil up, Young Living family. This is Jacob Young, dropping out.
The YL Drop is produced in our studios at Young Living Global Headquarters with assistance from Paul Eagleston, Cole Wissinger, Ren Sof, and of course our host, Jacob Young.